Welcome to the teaching ministry of Pastors Carl and Cheryl Thomas. Our favorite verse is Habakkuk 2:14, "For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." Consumed by that revelation, we are committed to recognizing, resourcing, and releasing high-impact ministries resulting in global glory, transforming lives to impact their world. We have a teaching that will impact you today. Now, let's get right into that word.
All right. Well, happy Easter. Happy Easter. If you can't get excited today, you got a problem. He's risen. He's a good God. We're on a series called Faces. Faces. That's a beautiful little cross full of faces. If you didn't get on the cross, you're still going to heaven. It's okay. You know, we didn't just put out those who are making it. But we got that off your Facebook, so don't be offended. You put it out there in public, and we're using you. All right. Well, we love you, Jesus. Don't you I love Easter. I love this time of year. But we took faces because Easter isn't just some, you know, religious thing where God did this amazing thing, which is amazing, that God became man, died for us, then he's risen from the dead, and we can keep it all in some big spiritual event and all these things. But he didn't do it in a vacuum. He didn't do it in a void. He did it in a real historical time and place, and real people were impacted by what happened. Real people saw what was going on. And so we want to talk about some of those people. Last week we talked about Peter and how he was impacted by the story and lessons we can learn from Peter and how God interacted with him. And it was good. I do say so. It was good. And Good Friday, we talked about Jesus. We looked at the face of Jesus and him on the cross. And it was amazing that on the cross, you know, in excruciating pain and agony, he was still fully at work in redemption. He was still fully aware and concerned that he finished every detail of what it was to bring us liberty and freedom. It amazes me how determined and intentional he was about finishing the work of God for his life. And we should be that intentional too, my goodness. I know me, every time I get a little toenail that goes the wrong way, I just fall off track. But you know, he was fully on, fully intentional in every act, being sure that he fully completed redemption for us. So we're going to look at another face today. Easter, I don't know about you, but it's spring, and out back in the yard, we got a manifestation of chipmunks and bunnies. And it drives Pastor Cheryl crazy because the chipmunks burrow under our deck, and she's afraid they'll make all of these water pathways that'll cause our deck to collapse someday. So she's out. She's doing live trapping and releasing. So it's really kind of wonderful. A couple years ago, we trapped one, and it just got its leg, and it was squirming, and Cheryl felt awful that she damaged a part of God's creation, so we went and got some live traps, and now we trap them and put them in the car and drive for 14 kilometers and release them in the wilderness. So that's better, apparently. No, I guess it is better, but now, last year, Cheryl started spray painting them because there's lots of them, and she wonders if they're actually finding their way back. She read up on it, and she found out that you had to take them at least 14 kilometers away, so we watched the odometer on the car, make sure we're far enough away, and then let them out. One of them was traumatized because we actually brought them to church and released them out back. Was really disappointed with the neighborhood. But I said, hey, we're here to serve, you know, so. Wow, that was harsh, wasn't it, Pastor? Give us a break. I mean, oh my God. Hey. Anyway, bunnies. This year we got bunnies. I think there's a little bunny hole back there somewhere. But it's great. We got all the wildlife going on. But what's terrible is I was driving out the other day, and I swerved because there was a bunny. And you hope you miss it, but then you look in the rear view, and it's awful when you see it kind of drag itself across the road and laying by the thing. So I stopped, and I said, this is not right, and I went back, and then another car stopped, and I was like, what's going on? And this guy got up, and he ran out, and he looked, and he went back to his car, and I went, what is this dude doing? He comes back from his car, and he's got a spray, and he says, watch this. I went, I'm watching. So he went, shh, and sprayed the bunny with all this stuff, and I'm watching, and sure enough, suddenly, stuff started to move, and I was like, what? All of a sudden the bunny went boop, jumped up, ran across the road, got about 10 feet into the field, turned around and went. Nah, and then again, another 10 feet, turned around and went. And then I'm like, this is crazy. Another 10 feet. And I watched it go all the way down into the field. And every 10 feet stopped, turned around, and waved. And I went, well, that was pretty crazy. I said, dude, like, I don't know what you did. But, I mean, what did you do to this bunny? He said, actually, I'm a beauty supply salesman. I went, right? He said, well, look at the can. I said, wow, hair restoration with a permanent wave. So incredible. I'm telling you, it was so awesome. Now, I was just kidding right there, all right? I was only kidding. That didn't really happen. But I got another story for you you're going to find hard to believe, too. And here it is. Now, tax time. It's tax season now. You folks doing your taxes. Render to Caesar what Caesar's. Amen. Tax man cometh. But there's a tax account, and he had a fella come to him. He said, I got a Navigator SUV, and I want to write it off on my taxes. And he said, well, why? He says, because it got blown up. He said, blown up? So wouldn't you call your insurance company? He says, well, they won't honor it. And they said that maybe I can write it off as a business expense. And he went, why? He says, because we had the problem when I was out, took a bunch of guys, business clients, on a fishing trip to ice fishing. And he went, right? So, well, let me tell you the whole story. He said, we went out there on this fishing trip, and he said, I parked the SUV right on the edge of the lake, and I decided that instead of cutting a hole, I had a box of dynamite. So I thought, you know what? Let's just light a long fuse. And I just tossed it as far as I could, and I thought, it'll blow a hole, and that's great. And then we'll go fishing. He said, now I had my golden retriever with me. Now, I'm actually telling you this, and this apparently is a true story. This was asked of a tax consultant. The golden retriever immediately went, whoop, thought it was a game. He ran and got the dynamite. He came back running towards us, and we were all shouting, drop it, what are you doing? And I'm screaming at him, what's wrong with you? He got scared and thought he did something bad, so he decided to dive under the SUV and hide. Now, we had been driving a long, long way, so the manifolds and the exhaust were still really, really hot. So when he got underneath the truck, he went, whoa! Because the manifold and the mufflers burnt him. And so luckily, though, when he yelped, he let go of the dynamite and he went running. But shortly after that, my SUV blew up. That's a true story. Now, if you're having a hard time believing that one, I've got another one for you. Let me show you this slide right here. This is that's a genuine picture of a graveyard in Hanover, Germany, and it is the tomb of Henriette Julianne Caroline von Ruling. I don't know how to pronounce it absolutely, but she lived from 1756 to 1782, and she despised Christianity and everything to do with it. And so when she died, she had her tomb designed for her before she died. She had her tomb designed. It was solid granite, and it was hinged with these stainless, well, I don't know if they had stainless steel back then, but they were heavy-duty, you know, hitches and stuff, and she wanted it locked down totally tight because she said, if there is a resurrection, I don't want to go. So she said, shut her down because I don't believe in it and it isn't going to happen. So it says right on the tomb, may this tomb bought for eternity never be opened. May this tomb bought for eternity never be opened. Now, as you'll see right there, what happened was a little bit of dirt and dust gathered at the backside of the tomb. Inside of that little bit of dirt and dust, a birch tree seed nestled in. That birch tree seed pushed in roots, and those roots went down inside of that rocky tomb and sprouted up that tree that you see. A massive birch tree has grown there, and the birch tree has such strength and such power and such life that it has busted open her tomb that should never be opened. Absolutely true story. In 2010, the groundskeeper cut down the tree. I don't know why, but people were really upset because it had become like a tourist attraction, a place where people went to go and see this, because this woman who was opposed to the resurrection, who wanted to lock down her tomb that I'm not going to participate, life got into that tomb and busted it open And there's nothing you can do. And Jesus, God says Jesus was that seed that got planted into the soil. And he is the first fruits. He is the firstborn. He is busted through sin. He is busted through hell. He's busted through sickness and disease. He's busted through death. And the life of God cannot be hindered by anything, formed, fashioned by any. Tell me, what can separate you from the love of God? Nothing. There's not a single thing created, not created, seen, unseen, angel, demon, nothing, above, below, here, there, anywhere. There's nothing that can separate you from the forceful love of a resurrected Christ touching your life forever. Amen. So let me read this story to you. True, true story. Okay, and it's all about the resurrection of Christ. Mark 16, 1 to 7, it says, "But he said to them, 'Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. But he is risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him, but go and tell his disciples and Peter.'" Go and tell his disciples and Peter, "that he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him as he said you would." Now, isn't that great? That's an angel announcing to the women who came to the tomb, "Go and tell everybody the tomb is empty. Hey, and by the way, specifically, speak to Peter." Why? In all of this, God's concerned about people. He's concerned about faces. He's concerned about you. And because Peter went through that devastating, you know, denial and was so broken over what he'd done, God wanted to make sure that even the angels knew, whatever's going on, make sure Peter hears about it. And make sure Peter's involved, because I got plans for Peter. He might think he blew it, but I looked at him because I prayed for him, and he's going to return, and he's going to do great things for me. It's good, eh, how he does that? He's going before you to Galilee. Acts chapter 4, 1 to 2. "Now, as they spoke to the people, the priests, the captains of the temple, the Sadducees came upon them, and being very greatly disturbed, that they taught the people, and they preached in Jesus." They preached in Jesus. They didn't preach just about Jesus. They preached that in Jesus. Very different. Jesus was raised from the dead. Well, that's wonderful. But they didn't preach that Jesus was raised. They preached that because Jesus was raised in Jesus, you can be raised too. Jesus, that firstborn, because he is alive today and he is risen, he dealt with death and Satan and hell. And they preached, because Jesus is alive, you can be alive. There's a new king in town. The kingdom of darkness is broken. He's got the keys to death and hell. And he declares freedom. He preached in Jesus. They preached in Jesus that there is resurrection from the dead. That was the ministry of the church. The message of the church, they made a big deal about resurrection. Do you make a big deal about resurrection? We got to make a big deal about resurrection, not just once a year. It's Easter. He's alive. We got to make a big deal about he's alive. But because he's alive, death has been destroyed. The grave has been conquered. Sin, hell, Satan, and all of his schemes are destroyed because he is risen. And in him we have today, not just in the sweet by and by, but right now, I have resurrection life. Amen. Amen. Please keep your seats, please. I mean, isn't that exciting? Acts chapter 4, 33, "With great power, the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and great grace was upon them." 1 Peter 1, 20 and 21, "He indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world." This was a plan before the foundation of the world, before anything had even taken place. God had a plan to redeem us through the death, burial, and resurrection of his son. This wasn't plan B. This wasn't like, oh, gee, what are we going to do now? God had planned to redeem for himself a community that simply through faith in the finished work of Christ over this weekend that we celebrate, I believe in the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And I believe he did it through me. And because now he has life, I can have life too. Bang, you're in. Because it's faith and faith alone. It's not some religious organization where now and now. Johnny, what are the rules and regulations for them now? Well, now you've got the Ten Commandments. Well, here they come. You know, he didn't set you free from the law to obey the law. He set you free from the law so you could write the law in your heart. So it's not something you obey anymore. It's something you do naturally, not out of performance, but out of love and affection and out of a natural expression of the DNA of God. All right. He is the foundation, foreordained before the foundation. He was manifest in the last times for you who believe in him, who raised him from the dead, gave him glory, so that your faith and your hope are in God. 1 Corinthians 15, 17 and 19. If Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. You're still in your sins. Then also those who have fallen asleep, those who are dead, they're gone, they've perished. And if for this life only we have hope in Christ, we of all men are to be most pitied. I had somebody say to me once, you know what? Even if it isn't all real, it's just a good life, you know? I'd be a Christian anyways because it's a good way to live. And I went, lady, I'd go golfing. Because if this is just some do-good, you know, way to live plan or blah, 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 I mean, I can get that from Dr. Phil and Oprah Winfrey. If that's all it is, I mean, there's all kinds of how to live plans out there. This isn't a how to live plan. This is an eternal life plan. This is a gift program. This is where you believe in me and I give you eternal life. This isn't a come and try to be better, do good stuff. That's not a good message. Come and join us. We got the best How to Live Right club. Oh, okay, what do you guys say? Well, we say you got to do this, got to do that, got to do that. Jesus didn't come to say you gotta. He didn't come and say do. He said it's done. Enter into my rest. Enter into my freedom. Enter into that. And you know what? If it's just a self-help program, what a pitiful bunch of people we are. Because most of you aren't doing very good. Just saying. Just kidding. It's no judgment, no condemnation of those who are in Christ Jesus. Amen. Okay, that was good. It slipped into the flesh right there, eh? Amazing how quick you can do it, eh? I watched you guys when you pulled in the parking lot. It looked like a little intense conversation going on there, yeah. Little intense fellowship. Everything okay? Let me give you something from the message. Same passage, verse 19 and 20. If all we get out of Christ is a little inspiration in a few short years, we're a pretty sorry lot. But the truth is that Christ has been raised up. He is the first of a long legacy of those who are going to leave the cemeteries. Thank you, Lord. Well, it's all about the resurrection. It's all about Christ who came to give us life. That Christ is risen from the dead is a central theme to the Christian faith. If Jesus had only lived as a good example, we would still be in our sins. If Jesus had not died for us, we'd still be in our sins. But Jesus died for us, and Jesus is risen from the dead. All right, now get your Bibles. I finally found a text I can preach from. Are you ready? John chapter 20, verse 1. It's not all up there, just a bit of it, so get your Bibles and read along. Now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene, she went to the tomb early while it was still dark, and she saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. Very interesting, because in a parallel gospel, when she was going to the tomb, she was like, who's going to take away the stone? You know, but what I love about her, that she was going to the tomb intentionally to minister to the body of Jesus. She was going there to anoint a dead body and try to preserve it and minister to it and really give the body a decent burial. But she was going intentionally, knowing that there was a stone in front of the tomb, knowing that there was a Roman seal on that stone, and knowing that there were soldiers there because they didn't want any of his disciples coming stealing the body, because they heard the story that his disciples had been told that in 3 days he'll rise. What's amazing is they had more faith in the resurrection than the disciples did. They were trying to lock that baby down. The disciples were nowhere to be seen. I mean, if I were there, come on, I'm telling you, if I were there, I'd have been paying attention. I would have hired a mariachi band, and I would have had banners and everything. I would have been there early in the morning. Welcome back. Hey, welcome back. Hey, I knew you were coming to us. Hey, welcome back. Hey, welcome back. Hey. But no, not one of them were there to welcome Jesus. I mean, today we'd all be there with our iPhones. This is going to be awesome. Watch that. Not one of them. But the unbelievers, they wanted it locked down, soldiers in front of it, big stone in front, lock him down. Okay, get back in the story, Pastor. Yes, okay. Because verse 2, then she ran, and she saw that the tomb was open, and she ran. Say ran. She ran and came to Simon Peter and to the other disciples who Jesus loved and said to them, they've taken away the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they've laid him. And Peter therefore went out, and the other disciple, and they were going to the tomb. So they both ran together, and the other disciple outran Peter. Peter can't run or fish. It's apparently bad. But They came to the tomb first, and he stopped looking down. And when the linen cloths, they saw linen cloths lying there, yet they didn't go in. But when Simon Peter got there, of course, Simon Peter, he went in. Amen. You know, because we're going in. I didn't come here just to stand out here. He went in to the tomb, and he saw the linen cloths lying there, and the handkerchief that had been around his head was not lying with the other linen cloths. It was folded together in a place by itself. Do you know why it was folded together? Because if you're still got stuff to do, you fold your napkin. If you're finished, you throw your napkin in. But he said, it isn't over. I'm going to complete a work. I'm going to build a church. I'm going to fill the earth with my glory. Wow. Anyway, that's another sermon, but that's a good one too. All right, so it was there by itself. Verse 8, then the other disciple who came to the tomb first went in also, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not know the scriptures, and yet that he must rise from the dead. It's amazing that they were taught this stuff and they never got it. Never got it. Verse 10, then the disciples went away to their own homes. But Mary stayed. Mary stayed. Mary stood outside the tomb weeping, and she wept, and she stooped down, and she looked in the tomb. And then she saw two angels sitting there in white, one at the head and the other at the feet, where Jesus' body had been laying. Then they said to her, woman, why are you weeping? And she said to them, because they've taken away my Lord, and I don't know where they've laid him. And when she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there and did not know it was him. I came to the garden alone, while the dew was still on the roses, and the voice I hear ringing in my ear, blah, 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 blah. What's the name of God? Andy walks with me, Andy talks with me, Andy tells me I am his own. Okay, we can pause there. How many wanted to sing that today? I put in the request to our worship teams and they turned me down. So please send emails to carlylynn.com. And how many knew that was the name of God, Andy? You knew that, Andy? Andy walks with me, Andy. Okay, never mind. All right. Turned around and he saw Jesus, and Jesus said, woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking? And she supposed him to be the gardener and said to him, sir, that's what that song's all about. It's all about Mary Magdalene. Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him and I will take him. I love this woman. I mean, she's going, there could be a shut down tomb, there could be soldiers, there could be all kinds of things, but you know what? I want to know where you laid my master. And she's not going to relax her grip on this thing at all. I want to know where they have laid him. And then look what it says. Verse 16, Jesus said to her, Mary. Pastor, relax. Well, that's what it says. It's an exclamation mark. I actually looked at all kinds of different translations today. And the majority of translations all have Mary with an exclamation mark. They really do. And I think that's important, don't you? If you're reading to your children and it was an exclamation mark, he went down to the store, a car was coming, and all of a sudden they shouted, stop! Because there's an exclamation mark. There's an exclamation mark in the text because Jesus is talking to her. She can't see. She's all she can see is her pain and her sorrow. And she's looking, where'd you lay the body? And what are you looking for? Mary, what are you looking for, Mary? And then say, Mary! Jesus! Sometimes he's got to snap out of it, you know? Okay, thank you, Pastor. It was good. Mary, she turned and said to him, Rabboni, which means teacher. And Jesus said to her, don't cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father. I've still got work to do. But I go to, but do this. Mary, go to my brethren and say to them, I'm ascending to my Father and your Father. Oh, I'm ascending to my Father. And your Father. You're almost as close to him as I am. No, he's my Father and he's your Father. My God and your God. Go tell my brethren. And Mary, verse 18, it says, Mary Magdalene came to the disciples. She told them what she had seen. And she spoke all these things to them. And all the men didn't believe her. Did you know in that culture that a woman didn't actually represent a full testimony in a legal court of law? It didn't actually represent a whole word. Like you'd have to have more than a woman's testimony because it didn't even count as a single full testimony. What an awful thing back then. Aren't you glad that Jesus made a big deal about women? Aren't you? And churches today that don't make a big deal about women, shame on them, because it's a terrible thing. It's a diabolical thing is what it is. It really is. Anyway, don't let me get stuck there. Did I tell you already that the Leafs won last night? Sorry about that. I fight all these thoughts in my head, competing things going on. Let's make some observations. You ready? Let's make some Easter observations about this real face in the story, a real person. I want you to look at this. First thing is, what I love about her, she was a finisher. She started something. She was the last one at the cross, and she was the first one at the tomb. When she saw that this isn't complete, I won't let my master's body be undignified, she wanted to finish a job that they begun. And she went there. I mean, she went to the tomb early while it was still dark. She was ready to confront anything, whatever it took. I believe that I'm going to finish this job today. I'm not going to shrink back in fear like all my other friends. I'm going to finish this job, and I'm going to do it right. I don't know if somewhere down inside she hoped that she'd see a risen Savior. I don't know. But either way, she could have been like everybody else. None of this has worked out like I wanted it to. None of this is going the way I had hoped. I was tracking really, really good, and then I ran into a hardship. My hopes and my dreams are shattered. You know what? I give up. I was giving everything to Jesus. I was following hard, and now look at this mess. But she showed up. She showed up to a tomb she expected to be full. We can't show up to a tomb that's already empty. But she went to a tomb that she thought was full. She went to a tomb which meant defeat. It meant hopelessness. But you know what? This was the man who set me free of seven devils. This was the person who spoke a message of a new kingdom. This is somebody who really transformed me from a babbling idiot to a person in a sound mind. This is a person who touched me and restored everything in my life, who brought dignity back to me. And this person deserves my very best. Even if it's not working out like I thought, I'm going to finish the job. I'm going to do it right. She didn't have a risen Savior. She had a broken down dream, and yet she was committed to the love and devotion that she had expressed. It didn't fail, even though it looked like he'd failed to fulfill the whole message. She said, you know what? My love and my devotion is still strong enough to finish the job. We got a risen Savior, and we quit way too early. She was ready. She was going to finish it. She was going all the way. Look at number two, another observation. What I love here is she was comforted. I love this because I was thinking the other day about when Jesus got raised from the dead, I would think, wow, really cool. Let's get on with the job then. But he didn't just go, I'm the risen King of glory. Let's get everything straightened out. He took time, even as the resurrected Christ. He hung around for 40 days, cooked breakfast, walked through walls, talked to the guys about stuff, said things to them. He didn't just say, I am who I said I am. I ascend to glory. I'm going back to my throne to reign and to rule. No, he hung out with them for another 40 days and said, I want to establish you guys and what's going on. I love that. But the ascending Christ, for one person, was willing to say, the program has to be adjusted because I want to stop and see Mary. Before we come up there, Father, let's talk to Mary. Because she's, look at her. I mean, she came. She came in the midst of brokenness and defeat. She showed up to deal with my dead body. She showed up to finish the job. Let's hang here for a minute. Why are you crying? Why are you crying? You know what? He shows up when you're crying. He shows up in the middle of your brokenness because he's a personal God. And he comes to comfort you. In this whole process of cosmic redemption, there's still time to minister to the needs of one individual. Listen to this verse. I didn't put it in your notes. It's on the notes online, but it's actually not on the notes online. I put it in right even after I printed that. But I love this. In Psalm 56, verse 8, it says, he put my tears into your bottle. Are they not in your book? Have you cried a tear this week? Have you got frustrated over something this week? Have you gone through a difficulty this week that actually made you break down and get really, really frustrated? Do you know what he was doing? He was collecting every tear. He was right. He was so intimate with you, not just say, now, easy, easy. He literally came so close that he collected every tear. And he put it in his bottle. Isn't that amazing? Now, if we had individual bottles, mine would be pretty empty. not much of a crier, you know, but I try. If we have a laughing box, though, mine's really big. But anyway, I'll give you another verse. Look, it says, he will swallow up death. Isaiah 25:8. He will swallow up death forever. The sovereign Lord will wipe away the tears from all faces. Isn't he an awesome God? You're not alone. She may have gone to the garden alone, but she wasn't alone because God's there. Even in your worst moment, even in a moment where you feel you deserve the failure, even if you think, I brought this on myself, though, he's still there collecting your tears. He's still there identifying with your pain, and he still loves you. Amen. That was good. Look at the third thing. The third thing, he says, Who are you seeking? I mean, there's a challenge in here. What are you looking for? What do you want to achieve here today? Why did you come here today? What are you doing at Impact Church? Oh, I came looking for a girlfriend. I found my wife in church, so I guess, you know, it's all right. Actually, she found me. She asked me out. I was going to get a donut. She said, we should give it a try. I went, the maple dip, the chocolate dip. And she said, you and I went, us? It's a true story. True story. And I all the time shake my head and go, wow. Found her in church. Pretty awesome. What are you looking for? Did you come today? Yeah, it's Easter. I guess I should get my butt down there. What are you looking for? I want to challenge you today. What are you looking for? What do you need? What are you seeking? Jesus, what are you looking for? I mean, why'd you walk in here today? There's a resurrection Christ who's alive. He's in this room right now walking amongst us by his spirit. He's ready to meet every single need. He's ready to touch you. He said, if he gave his own son for you, how much more along with him will he not give you all things? Is any of those things, does anybody need some things? Because, you know, the fact that he did this means that he'll do that. Okay, let's go to number four. Mary! Mary! See, there's an exclamation mark there, right? Mary. And it is. There's an exclamation mark. I mean, God is a personal God. He's on a first name basis with you. He's very, very intimate with you. He knows your name. He knows who you are. He really does.
It's like, oh, that little guy, you know, what's his name again? He does his hair gray every once in a while, sings on the worship team. What's his name?
George! That's it, George. See, God knows George's name. He knows every one of those little hairs that got singed and tinted. He knows which ones went down the drain. He knows him intimately. He knows which hairs are leaving his head and now growing on his back. He knows. That is the truth. I'm telling you, true story. Amen. I love him. Don't you love him? He's nuts about you. He really is. You are to die for. You really are. He loves you. He's personal. He's intimate. Look at number five. Don't cling to me. Don't cling to me. But you know what? He's alive. I like to think that the word that he was going to rise somehow was quickened in her spirit. And I know she might have said, I'm going to go clean the body. But I wonder if maybe somewhere deep, and I don't know. It doesn't say. But I wonder if somewhere deep inside she was thinking, he's alive. He's alive. But you know what? When she saw that he was alive, she reached out and she grabbed him and she said, I got you. You're not getting out of my sight. You transformed my life. I'll never be the same. And I knew it. I knew it. I knew it. I knew the program's going to continue. I'm not going back to some messy life. I'm going to go from glory to glory, gooder to gooder, wonderful to wonderful. And I'm not letting you out of my sight. But I said, I put down a few different words, and I finally settled on vindicated. Because you know what? I think when you know that there's an empty tomb, and you know there's a risen Jesus, you should always feel vindicated. I'm not believing in some pipe dream or some hope so or some 5-step program. I've got a personal relationship with the living God, and it's the real deal. And I'm clinging to him, and I'm hanging on to him. I've pushed all my chips in the middle of the table. I'm betting on God, and he's never going to fail me. Never going to fail me. My hopes are assured. Everything. Listen to me. Everything is all right. Everything. Every little thing is going to be all right. Don't worry about a thing, because every little thing is going to be all right. You don't know that song? All right. I just came from Jamaica, so I mean, I know that one. Yeah, okay. Vindicated. Come on, we're all vindicated. I'm here on purpose. I'm not hiding. I got a risen Savior. He's a great God. And I tell you, everything is going to be all right. Number six, she was included. I love it. He says, my father and your father. Isn't that good? I'm going to heaven. It's okay, but I'm going to my father and I'm going to your father. And tell these guys, I'm coming back. I'm going to talk to them. We're going to fill in the blanks. Don't you worry about it. But right away, she realized, I'm included on this going on plan, this continuing journey, this continuous manifestation of filling the earth with the good news that's impacted my life. I'm a part of a journey that's going to continue, and it's going to get bigger, and it's going to fill the earth. I'm included in something really big. You're a child of God. You really are a child of God. It's all about family. It's all about you being restored to a wonderful living Savior. Number seven, I tell you, she was commissioned, because right there, right, boom, bang. I mean, there's so many places where you have an encounter with Jesus where you end up getting a job. So if you're unemployed, come to Jesus. Because everybody who has these encounters with Jesus, sure enough, they go away from there with one thing on their heart and mind. I got to tell you about my Savior. I got to tell you about Jesus. I got something. I got a song to sing. I got something to bark out loud. When you have an encounter with a risen Savior, you must tell others. And I tell you, there's a breakthrough in your testimony. There's a breakthrough in your witness. Tell others. Let me give you some closing lessons. Can you say closing lessons, Pastor? All right, here we go. You ready? Number one, God can do anything. Completely demonized, completely out of her mind, completely whatever. Her life was not her own, dominated and controlled by the forces of darkness. Whatever that looks like, it was horrible, it was awful. But you know what? When Jesus walks into your life, it has to go. There is no situation, no place. In your own mind, whatever you think about you, there's nothing too hard for God. And he's nuts about you, and he loves you. There's no place you could have been or done or anything, any action you think, no matter what it was, whatever it is, God can do anything. Three more amens. Okay, we can go to the next point. My past / my sin, it's gone. It's a beautiful story about Easter. When I come to him, you know, he's carrying that cross, and he turns around, and he looked, and he said, behold, I make all things new. Amen. You know, when you come to him, I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. Behold, all things passed away. All things have become new. Here was a woman who didn't have to go back to a demonized, messed up life. She was set free to be free, done forever, totally set free. Who the Son sets free is free indeed. Amen. And I had in my notes here that, you know, talk louder because they're running around the building. They're so excited. How many run in your spirit? I knew it. I could feel it in the spirit too. Oh, whoa, hey, whoa. A few of you just ran by. That was awesome. Gratitude positions you for favor. You know what? Favor is to everybody. But you know what? Everybody could have been there at the cross. Everybody could have been there with their iPhones. We're ready, Jesus. Smile. You want to post you on Facebook? Wouldn't it be great to post everyone on Facebook the resurrection? Hey? But one woman who wanted to finish a job, one person who's going to be faithful to the end, because that was a really good friend. That was somebody I really, really loved. And no matter what disappointment I may be experiencing for all of it, he's still worthy of my affection, and he's still worthy for me to finish the job. I love that. But you know, here's someone who was moved with such gratitude for what Jesus had done for her life that she positioned herself to be named the first one to see the risen Christ. Through all eternity in this holy book, Mary Magdalene is the one who was last at the cross and first at the tomb, was the first one to experience the joy, first one to see, the first one to witness the risen Christ. By whose choice? By God Almighty's choice. he chose, she was first, but I think she had something to do with it. I think her gratitude positioned her to experience that kind of blessing in her life. Hey? Where's your level of gratitude today? Hey? Are you grateful? Are you grateful? Because I really believe today that it's a principle. I really think today that even gratitude does put you in places to experience God's goodness. I really do. I really think favor seems to find those people that are just like, by the way, did I tell you lately? I love you. I'm nuts about you. And I'm so thankful for what you've done in my life. Amen? Just a few days ago, when we were visiting with Joshua and Janet and Liberty, you know, One day I just felt evidence, call forth evidence, but one day I just stood there and all I could say was thank you. Thank you. And there wasn't a full manifestation of any breakthrough at the point, but you know, I just feel a great big thank you in my spirit, you know? Thank you, thank you, thank you. And it's amazing how thank you, just thank you, can position you to receive the best that God has for you. Go ahead, give it a try. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And I didn't know they were singing that song today, that song that used to annoy me, because are they ever going to stop? Are they stuck? I'm never going to let you down. I'm never going to stop this song. But while I was thinking, they're going on and on and on, my spirit was finally going, he's never going to let me down. He's never going to let me down. And then my head finally went, shut up, your spirit's saying something. What? He's never going to let you down. He's never going to let you down. Listen to me. The Lord, his love never fails. And he's never going to let you down. Never. Never. I think I got one more slide. Yeah! Would you just stand up with me now? Just stand. Do something for me just right now. That was a good little pitter-patter, but let's really thank Jesus for Happy Easter. You ready? Come on, give him thanks. Give him thanks. Yeah! Woo! Thank you, thank you, thank you! Oh, thank you, thank you. Wow. Now, just do one more thing for me. I just want everybody, just bow your head, close your eyes. Just everybody. Everybody's praying. Everybody's praying. Everybody's praying. Now, if you're here today and you're going, wow, I want to have that relationship with God. Well, he wants that relationship with you. And he did all that he did. All that we celebrate at Easter is showing how and what lengths God went to bring you into the family. He wants you to say, like Jesus said, I'm going to my Father and your Father. And he's your Father. And I want you to acknowledge him today. I want you to receive him as your Lord and Savior. I want you to receive Jesus, the new and living way to a relationship with a wonderful God. And if you've never done that, if you've never said, hey, be my Savior, be my Lord. If you've never done that, I'm going to count to three. Right now, I'm going to go one, two, three. And when I do, would you put up your hand? Because you're feeling it right now. You're feeling the love of the Heavenly Father pulling on you. You know, I'm going to count to three. And would you lift your hand? And we're just simply going to pray with you. We're all going to pray together. So are you ready? One, two, three. Just raise up your hand really high. Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else? Anyone else? Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else? Just lift your hand really high so we can see it. Thank you. Okay, you can put your hands down. Was there anybody else? Anybody? We're all going to pray, and I want you to pray. You put your hand up, I want you to pray. Because he's my Father, he's Jesus' Father, but he's your Father. And I want you to pray with us. We're all going to say this together. You ready? Lord Jesus, thank you for coming and dying for my sin. I believe that you are raised from the dead, and I declare that you're the Lord of my life. I receive this fact. My sins are forgiven. I'm healed. Now come and fill me with your Holy Spirit. Spirit of God, testify with my spirit right now that I am a child of God. Thank you, Jesus. You are my Savior. You are my Lord. And you are my Heavenly Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, that was real good right there. Wasn't that good? Wow. Now, if I could get our elders to come and anybody who's been assigned to minister at the altar today, would you come? And we're just going to close, but I want to let people get a chance to get ministered to this Easter. You know, what did you come here for? Just like Jesus said, what are you seeking? What are you seeking? I want you to embrace that today, because there's people here ready to pray with you. And whatever you're seeking, whatever you're looking for, God's ready to meet you and minister to you. So I bless you. I'm going to pray for you right now. You ready? Everybody, raise your hands up. Father, we thank you for this glorious day. We love you so much. Thank you for everything you've done for me. Thank you for the way you came and just delivered me and set me free. And I am so very grateful today. I love this house, Lord. What a privilege to serve these beautiful people. And I want every one of them and all of their families to have a really amazing Easter today. Lord, visit us throughout the day. Demonstrate your goodness to us throughout the day. May we be so mindful that you are good. Laugh with us. Enjoy with us. Sit around the table with us and just bless us with your presence today. So I bless this house right now with the love of our Heavenly Father, with the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and with that wonderful intimate fellowship of the Holy Ghost, I send you forth to minister and loose his goodness on a world that needs to know that God is good. So I bless you now in Jesus' name. Amen.